Let's take some shots. JK, we're sober. I'm Julie.
And I'm Kimberly.
And today we have a special guest, our near and dear friend, Jamie, who is going to talk to us about, I don't know. Take it away, Jamie.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jamie. Thank you so much to Julie and Kimberly for asking me to come on their show. It is a pleasure, a dream, and an honor to be here.
A dream.
A dream. You guys are dreamy. What can I say, you know? And not like the nightmare dreams that we have when we're drinking, you know? Those are the worst. But anyway, today I wanted to talk to Julie and Kimberly about imposter syndrome. So,
dun, dun, dun.
Like Law and Order SVU. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love that show. I feel like imposter syndrome is something that comes up in my life a lot being sober because, you know, everyone's story is different about their sober journey and how they got here. And a lot of us grew up with the understanding of like, oh, so alcoholics are people who don't have jobs, who drink all day and night, who live under a bridge. They're like those trolls that are like, you cannot pass this bridge. And that wasn't my story, you know. So when I first got into the sober and recovery space, it was a little uncomfortable at first to kind of find out where I belonged because, you know, I was hearing all these like different stories about what people have gone through being sober. And I was like, well, that's not me. Like, I never got arrested. I never got a DWI. I never lost my children, you know. And what I love about being a part of the sober community, especially, you know, through a 12-step recovery program and my different kind of recovery spaces that I'm a part of, is that you're able to see a broad spectrum of, you know, the recovery journey. There you got those high bottom people who like had one situation happen. They're like, nope, done. You have the people who have relapsed over and over, but they keep coming back and they keep trying to figure out how it's going to work for them. You have the people who also have drug issues and mental health issues and how they're trying to, you know, manage that also of being sober. Those are the freaking rock stars out there, you know? So I thought this would be a cool topic for us to talk about today, about how imposter syndrome kind of shows up in our lives.
Yeah. Do you want to kind of explain what that is for our listeners?
I would love to. So my definition, and it's definitely in the Webster Dictionary. No, it's not. Is, you know, imposter syndrome for me is this feeling that like, I don't belong here. Like, this is not a space for me, you know? And how that shows up in, you know, in my sobriety, and that kind of shows up in different ways for me in my sobriety. It could be that, you know, oh man, like I'm having a bad day. I'm not a good sober person. I'm supposed to be like this spiritual guru and I'm having a rough day today. So obviously I'm not a sober person. Or like, oh man, I haven't meditated in like 3 days. Like I'm not a good sober person. Or it's like I'm having reactions to life instead of responses to life. And that makes me feel like, oh, well, I'm not a good sober person. I'm an imposter. And, you know, the imposter syndrome is something that I feel like is something that affects people outside of sobriety, too, as well. You know, when you're at work and you're like, well, I don't belong here. I don't deserve this. I don't deserve all the hard work that I put into this place to feel like I belong here. So that's my kind of definition of an imposter syndrome is, you know, thinking and kind of acting sometimes in a way of, you know, that I don't belong here. This is not my space. I don't belong in this kind of situation with other people. So
I like that. I know for me, when I, like you said, not a good sober person. I know when I was like going through the steps and like even now, you know, I'll have like an off day and I talk to my sponsor and I'm like, I just like don't understand. She's like, Julie, you don't have to be like Miss AA all the time. Like you don't have to be perfect all the time. Like you're a human and we don't get sober and we don't go through all the hell. We didn't go through all the hell we went through and go through all of the difficulties during our sobriety to be perfect. You know, we went through them to learn how to handle life as it's thrown at us. So I think that, I don't know, I think this is a really good, a really interesting thing because I never really put like a definition, not like a definition, I never like got like a word for it, you know, and I never really understood it because I always think, like you said, I was like, oh, I'm going to journal. I'm journaling every day. Like that's going to be my thing. And then I do it for like a week and then I don't do it for like 3 days. and I call someone and I'm like, I haven't journaled in 3 days. Like, does this mean I'm going to relapse? Like, I don't understand. Like, I feel like I'm not living sober. And it's like, dude, it's all right. Like, you're allowed not to journal. Like, it's fine. Kim, have you had any imposter syndromes in your sobriety or not or before?
Definitely before, mm-hmm. before I got sober. I definitely felt like I didn't belong in the sober community, and that's why I didn't get sober before I did. And now that I am sober, I sometimes do have moments where I feel like I'm not good enough. Like, I'm not doing everything sober, like sober thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we were just having a discussion before we recorded.
Yes.
Is this sober behavior? Like, you know, is it okay to feel this way? Like, should I be looking at it from a different angle? And, you know, because I know that when we get sober, we look at life with a totally different set of eyes. And there are still certain things in my life that I feel like I still see through the same eyes. Mm-hmm. So I try to practice my program as much as I can. You know, you were just talking about journaling. My nightly inventory, I do it as much as I can, but the nights that I don't do it, I wake up the next morning and I'm just like, I just fucked up.
Failure.
Yeah.
Like, you're done.
Yep.
I looked at my nightly inventory the other night and the last time I did it was April 2020. I was like, wow, I'm the worst person ever. But like, we do that stuff like while we talk to each other, and I don't know. It's like crazy. Jamie, do you think that there's like any sort of like pressure that's put on people who are getting sober to like act a certain way or feel a certain way? Or do you think that there's like a, what is it? Like an unsaid, like standard, I guess I could say.
I feel like the pressure that we put on ourselves is the most intense pressure that we feel, right? We're getting a taste of this new life, of this new set of eyes, like Kimberly said, and we just want to be perfectionists at it, you know, be these perfect examples of being sober. So that's one of the things I love about sobriety, is it kind of like opens the wormhole about all this other stuff about me that I'd like to, you know, address or improve or kind of, you know, work through, you know. And I feel like when we get sober, we get a taste of this like sober life, and we want to hold on to it like we're like death gripping it. So we try, at least myself, I try to like do everything by the book of a certain book, if you get my drift, 12 step recovery, you know. And I felt like if I didn't do things perfectly, then I wasn't good enough to be sober, you know. I also felt that this is why alcoholism or a problem of drinking is cunning, baffling, and powerful. Because I was talking to Kimberly before we started recording today about how, you know, one drink is not enough. I'm sorry, one drink is too many and a thousand is not enough. Like, my disease tries to tell me that, like, oh, maybe down the line I could have one drink, you know, in 5 years when this is all over. Like, this is a phase. Like, this is not a lifestyle. This is not, like, a way to choose to live my life every day, you know. And if I take that one drink and nothing happens, it's going to set something off in me where I'm like, oh, maybe I can do this again with the same results. But as we know about alcoholism, it is a progressive fatal disease. You know, we're definitely some of the lucky ones, like, you know, Laura McCowan says, we're the lucky ones that we were able to look at our sobriety through this new lens of really getting to know ourselves and really becoming our most authentic versions of ourselves. And that's scary. You know, I got to talk about Instagram, because I'm a big, like, you know, Instagram sober follower and all those things. And I feel
you
like...
throw your handle in there for people to...
Oh, it's Jamie is fancy AF. As fuck, alcohol free, whatever you want to say. You know, and I feel like there is this like curation of the Instagram community where you need to be happy, joyous, and free in every one of your pictures, which is totally not realistic. You know, there are going to be days where we do feel happy, joyous, and free, but there's also going to be days where, like, letting go and letting God or letting universe isn't freaking working. And those are the days that we really need to practice our sober toolkits of acceptance and being kind to ourselves, and, you know, practicing all those tools to show us that, you know, being messy is part of being sober, you know. And I'm not good at embracing the messy parts of myself. Like, I literally called myself an asshole to my coworker the other day because I forgot something at home and I had to drive all the way back home to get it and bring it back. It's like, It's like, I would never call somebody else an asshole if they did that. So why do I do that to myself, you know? So I really appreciate those certain people out there in the sober community on Instagram who do show the messy, you know, sides of themselves, you know, because that makes me feel seen. If you go to a meeting or if you're in a conversation with somebody or you read something or write something, you know, or, you know, and or see something on TV that reminds you of you, that gives you permission to express that. And that gives you permission to exist in the world just like that person is or those people are, you know.
Right.
So I feel like being sober, you know, it's definitely hard work, but it's work. For me, it's work. It's something I have to commit to doing, you know, every day. And some days I feel great about it, and some days it's not as easy. But, you know, I really appreciate being able to practice grace with myself and grace with other people. Like, that's probably been a big part of the journey as well, is to be able to accept other people for how they are, just as they are. Not how I want them to be, because that's very codependent when you want to try and change people to make them fit your mold or to make them fit to your life the way you want to. And that's how I was living my life before I got sober.
Yeah, Kimberly and I talk a lot about being gentle with ourselves. And I think it's you, Jamie, that actually pulled the line on me one time that was, can you be nice to my friend Julie? Or can you not talk to my friend? Can you not talk about my friend Julie like that? And, you know, we talk about that all the time. Even on here, we talk about that, how we, you know, are our own worst enemies. And we, like you said, the pressure is basically the pressure that we put on ourselves to live up to a certain standard that no one set for us. Mm-hmm. You know, like when we got sober and when we started our journeys, like people said, you don't do this to have a perfect life. You do this to handle life, and you do this to live healthier and better. And, you know, like you said, in a way of grace and dignity. And I feel like that social media point that you said about people portraying their lives as, I guess, like, I don't want to say perfect, but, you know, like everything's like hunky dory.
Mm-hmm.
And not everything's hunky dory. Not everything is easy, and not everything is, you know, that light, I guess you could say.
Yeah, like, it's definitely not rainbows and unicorns 24/7. And, you know, your problems go away the second you put that drink down. Like, that's why, like, you hear some people say it works if you work it, and you're worth it, because you have to work it. You have to work, like, if you choose AA.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to work the steps. And there are a million different ways to get sober without AA. It just happens to be my way, like I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important for people who are sober curious or trying to get sober just to know that it does take work. You know, you don't want to be a dry drunk.
Do you want to explain what that is for people who might not be aware?
I can give you my definition of
it.
Because, like, I definitely feel like I've been a dry drunk before. It's someone who I would say is not so much spiritually fit, who does the same actions, acts the same way, minus the liquor. You know, they're still an alcoholic. They may not be drunk, but they're acting the same exact way. They're not making any changes to fix what was wrong.
Yeah, and I think that's where the imposter syndrome kind of comes in, because it's like, we, the three of us, work a program, you know, like we work on our sobriety every single day, whether it be talking to each other or going to a meeting or reading or meditating or journaling or whatever it is that we're doing that day. So when these feelings come up that don't seem like they should be happening, I guess, mm-hmm. I would say, I kind of revert back to the whole dry drunk saying, and I'm like, I don't want to be a dry drunk. Like, that's not why I did this. Like, I came here to get rid of the old Julie and bring out the true Julie and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, it's hard, I feel like. And, I don't know. I feel like we all do a pretty decent job on working on ourselves every day. You know,
I would say so.
It's a challenge.
And I also feel like, you know, with the imposter syndrome, like, there are still some things that I am doing or I am engaging with right now that were things that I did when I was drunk. Not necessarily about, like, you know, drinking alcohol specifically, but there are certain people or certain, like, behaviors that I let slide for myself and other people, you know, because for whatever reason, we're still unpacking that, right? And it's like, you know, how can I accept, like, me now as a sober person, but also recognize that, hey, I'm doing these things or seeing these people from my past, and, like, is that okay? Is there growth there? Like, what's going on underneath it, you know? And I feel like the biggest thing for me that I struggle with being sober is the anxiety. And we all know that alcohol increases your anxiety like tenfold when you're drinking. You know, the anxiety the next day after you drank, and you're like, your heart's pounding, your mind is racing, you're dehydrated. You're like, am I still drunk? I don't even know. It kind of feels like it. Cause your like body is just like going wild. Right. And, you know, when you have like those kind of, you know, I still have anxiety now, but now I'm able to talk myself down from my anxiety when I'm realizing, okay, is this something that I can control or can't control? And like I tell my friends and my sponsees all the time, like, what can you control? Your attitude and your effort, and that's it. So take that information and apply it to the situation you're worried about right now and figure out what your game plan is, you know, to be able to, you know, kind of move forward. My anxiety is probably at like a 50% lower level. But, like, you know, the worrying and the fatalizing is something that I still do. And I did that when I was drinking, too. So how do I accept that, you know, I'm working on it, but it's like, I'm almost 2 years sober. Why is this still a thing? It's like, no, like, I don't need to be, like, the cruel school teacher to myself anymore. I can be, like, the woo-woo, like, gentle healing person to myself that, the you know, I love the woo-woo, you know, that I never really... you know, God. And I also feel like part of my imposter syndrome was that I didn't think I was an alcoholic because I didn't behave the way my mother behaved. And my mother was the kind of alcoholic where she was like functioning-ish, but like she would sleep all the time. There was always empty beer cans around everywhere. She would isolate. She really didn't have any friends, you know. There was a few times where we were out at like family functions and she completely embarrassed me, like stumbling in the road, drunk, almost getting hit by a car. And we got back from like Thanksgiving at my godparents' 1 year. And like, that wasn't the way I was drinking. So I was like, oh, well, I'm just like, you know, partying at 33 years old. I was like, Jamie, stop partying. Like, why don't you like drink some tea and like chill out? You know, you don't gotta be going out to the city at 3 a.m. to accept, to get that validation, that acceptance from people to feel like you belong, you know? So like when you grow up with an alcoholic, but the way that you're drinking and handling life isn't the same. That's another being like, well, obviously like I'm not an alcoholic because like I'm a successful, like social, you know, going out there, you know, kind of person. But inside, like I had the same kind of feelings that my mom did. I, you know, I didn't know how to talk about my feelings. I felt like if I talked about my feelings, nothing will get resolved and would just cause more chaos. So why even do it? Let's just numb them. Let's drink about it. You know, so like when you grow up with somebody who's an alcoholic, but your alcoholism isn't showing up in the same way, it's just another notch being like, oh, I'm not an alcoholic. And that, like Kimberly says, would prevent us from reaching out for help because, you know, we're not like what we see on TV or what we see in the movie about what an alcoholic should be. No, I never drank, you know, in the morning to get the shakes off, you know, but I did drink to the point I passed out all the time. I did black out. I did throw up. I did drive drunk all the time, especially towards the end. And those are things that, you know, weren't the things that my mom was doing. Like she wasn't blacking out. She wasn't. So it's a very interesting cycle as an adult child of an alcoholic of like how to identify as an alcoholic or problem drinker and accept that. Because, like, really, you're the only person that can tell yourself if you're an alcoholic. Like, everyone else can tell you that, but until you accept that for yourself, you know, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. No one else's opinion matters, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's a very, you just sparked something in me talking about, like, questioning, I guess, if you're an alcoholic. If you're not, like, do you fit in, like, a 12-step program? Are you, and, like, for people who are listening, like, you know, it's like, well, I don't drink every day. Like you said, I don't drink when I wake up in the morning, so I can't be an alcoholic. I don't this, I don't that. And I remember when my first, well, when I was drinking and using and whatever else I was doing, you know, I had those fleeting thoughts that were like, should I stop?
Oh my gosh, I had those too.
Is this like too much? Like, should I like, you know, and like normal people don't question themselves if they don't have a drinking problem. So if you're someone who's like, well, I'm not an alcoholic and you've ever had those thoughts of like, should I really drink again? Like, or like if you don't want to drink one night or one day, and you end up drinking, like, that's a problem. You know, like, there's so many things that, and I know when I first got sober, probably, like, even, like, 6 months in, I was looking back, and I said to, I think it was my sponsor, a friend, I was like, do you really think I'm an alcoholic, or did I just, like, take this way too far? Like, did I just, like, ruin any chance I ever have of drinking again because I got sober, I went into my program, I told people that I'm sober, that I'm an alcoholic. Like, did I just fuck up any chance? And, like, that's our sick brain, that's, you know? Yeah. Yeah, and that's, like, my ego, my sickness, my disease coming in and trying to trick me and trying to be like, ah, oh, Julie, but, like, you might have just taken it a little too far. But that's what we do as alcoholics and drug addicts and whatever else we are anyway. We've always talked about in this many times, Kimberly, is we live in the disease of more. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's not enough sometimes to just, like, accept that you have a problem, get help for that problem, and then live, like, turn your life around and live in a positive way. You know, there's always, whether it's a good disease of more, a bad disease of more, whatever it is, there's always, like, that question and that, like, little bit and literally that imposter syndrome of, like, should I be here or did I just, like, go overboard? I mean, we always go overboard. That's who we are.
Yeah. Instant gratification.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, I really like this topic. This is a good one.
This is definitely a good topic. I'm so happy that we're doing this.
Yeah. Kim, do you think that you have, I guess, can you see how have you handled your imposter syndrome, I guess, since getting sober? What are things that you do to, like, talk yourself down?
I do spot inventory. Okay. I literally, like, will stop myself in my tracks and I'll say the cliche phrase, I'll play the tape. Mm-hmm. Like, okay. And, you know, like Jamie said, like, you have control of your attitude and your actions. And I'll remind myself of that because she's told me that so many times. Like, I'll be at work and I'll have to remind myself of that. Like, I have control over my attitude and my actions. If I get up and I snap back right now, I'm no better than the situation that is currently being created, and I don't have to contribute to that.
Yes.
And I do what I call is spot inventory. And that has been very helpful. And, you know, I do think it's a useful tool in my toolkit.
Yeah. Jamie, what do you do?
When I feel the imposter syndrome kind of coming on, I kind of go to my mantras a lot, you know, specifically with my anxiety. I think about this mantra that I just made up, you know, Gabby Bernstein. She's been sober for like 16 years or something. She's one of the people that I follow, and I read her work about, you know, spirituality. And she does a little exercise of coming up with your own mantra. So when my anxiety was really bad, I made this mantra of, if I put my fear and worry into the arms of the universe, I'm trusting and can be free. So if I...
Ooh, say that again.
If I put my fear and my worry into the arms of the universe, I am trusting and can be free. So if I put in a little present or whatever, and they put it into my higher power, however I see her, the universe is she. That's how it is. you know, and I just put it in there. It makes me release a little bit of the control that I want to have or of the worry I'm having, you know, at that moment. So I do love, you know, mantra work and... literally when I'm feeling like in a real way, like I just try and give myself a hug, like literally just like sit there, just like wrapping my arms around myself for like a few minutes, just to be like,
if you saw okay. Her right now, she looks so cute giving herself a hug.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't given yourself a hug today, this is your reminder to give yourself a hug today, because like, you know, I think another part of the imposter syndrome for me is that I'm supposed to always be full of light and energy and joy and woo, woo, woo. I usually am. However, like, doing the work every day is really hard, you know? Like, I'm not, you know, a part of the sobriety. I love that, sobriety. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not a dry person. I, like, have dug deep into why I was using, like, why I was doing what I was doing through therapy, through, you know, a 12-step program, you know, through journaling, through, you know, reading books and talking to other alcoholics and everything. And, like, sometimes I'm just, like, exhausted and I don't want to do anything. And I have to kind of, like, recharge, you know, and... part of that could be, oh my God, isolating. And that could be a problem if you, you know, are an alcoholic or a problem drinker. But for some of us who are now extroverted, introverted extroverts or extroverted introverts or what have you, like, I need that alone time to kind of like be by myself, recharge, because I love being of service. But, you know, when my glass is like, there's two drops left, sometimes I have to tell people like, no, like, I can't talk to you tonight. Can we talk tomorrow? Or like, no, I can't do that thing with you, like, can we reschedule or whatever. And that would never have been me before I got sober. Before I got sober, I was just like, go, do, because I got my worth from what I did for other people and them expressing appreciation for that, which is fine when it's in a healthy way, but not when it was like, you know, sacrificing my own like mental health and, you know, my own like, you know, sanity. You know, like, I was always out and doing things and being with people because I didn't want to be by myself, because I didn't like being by myself, because being by myself mean I had to like hang out in the neighborhood between my ears, as they say. And that sometimes is not a great place to sit. So,
see, I love being by myself, and that's what made it so dangerous.
When you're just drinking by yourself, you know, I know, I remember you telling me that, you know, especially towards the end, like, you know, that's great. So it's all
my cat tree.
Yeah.
But I think that's also like a good way to show growth, Jamie and Kimberly is like being able to recognize like the fact that we're able to sit here and recognize imposter syndrome as a thing in itself is growth. You know, because we might be sitting in our feelings and we might hate them and we might think that we're not being the best we could be or we're broken. You know, my outlook on myself sometimes is like I'm damaged goods. Like I'm just like completely like damaged. And, you know, but the fact that we're able to recognize like, okay, this might not be the best sober behavior, or I might be living, or like you said before, surrounding myself with things or people or situations from my past. Is this okay? And, you know, so the fact that we're able to kind of recognize it and I wouldn't say like rationalize it, but work through it in our head is something that, you know, the imposter syndrome might be there, but the fact that we're able to talk about it is that's growth in itself. And I think that we all deserve like a really big hug and pat on the back because, you know, we used to like, if we didn't like how we were acting in the past, like, what did we do?
Nothing.
Or sat and drank about it, you know, like beat ourselves up over it. And it's like, we don't have to do that anymore. And I think that's pretty powerful that we're able to do that now.
Yes.
So, go ahead. Were you going to say something? No, you're good.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, guys. Don't worry.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think, do you guys have anything else to add? I feel like we covered a lot of stuff here.
On a very important topic.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. Thank you so much, Jamie, for coming on the show.
You're very welcome. No, thank you both for having me.
I appreciate it. This is so fun having another person here. Not that I don't love just you, Kimberly, but, you know, like, this is really nice. So, obviously, hit subscribe. And our Instagram is at JKWeresober. And we are on Anchor and Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And I think someone told me we're on like Google, something with Google.
I think we are now on most podcast platforms.
Platforms, so, nice.
Yes. So wherever you listen to your podcast, I believe you will find us.
Yeah, just search because, you know, we're not top of the line yet. But
progress, not perfection. So
yes. Thank you so much again, Jamie. We love you. And little quick tidbit, Jamie. I met Jamie now, was it New Year's Eve of 2019 going into 2020?
Yes.
And since then, Jamie has been a very, very supportive, pivotal part of my sobriety, meeting Jamie and being able to, you know, learn from you. And, you know, it's so funny that we all kind of have like these outlooks on ourselves, like, oh, I might not be doing this right. I might not be doing that right. And then like I didn't know what imposter syndrome even was until you told me. So the fact that you were feeling those ways is like, not that it's like out of the blue, because, you know, we talk and we share our feelings, but, you know, it's funny to think that, like, on the outside, sometimes we're looking like we're okay, but when we're, no one knows what happens when, like, we close our door at night and go in our bed and, like, our brains turn on like 900 miles an hour. So your vulnerability right now and sharing and being so honest with everyone is very much appreciated.
And I'm very lucky to have both Julie and Kimberly in my life. I mean, that's the best part about being sober, is about the sober connections you make out there and the amazing people that you get to hold this, like, very sacred space with. You know, it's really hard to pour yourself out. Sometimes you got to be wrung out because you're, like, so wet, but also you're like, I'm resisting. No, don't wring me out.
Let me drown.
Let me drown in my shit, please. It smells so good here. You know, so it's really an honor to be able to, like, you know, be friends with Julie and Kimberly. And I'm really proud of you, both of you, for doing this podcast. It's wonderful. I love listening to it every week. I've been telling everybody about it. You know, there's never enough sober podcasts, because every little blip into the universe, someone might catch your blip and it might change their life. So thank you so much for having me on with you guys today.
Yes. Thank you guys at JK We're Sober. And we appreciate every single one of you that listen to us.
And remember, stay strong and stay sober.